Hey, hey, this is Cedric Jungelman, your host of the Bitcoin Matrix podcast. Guess what, guys? I'm going to Amsterdam next week for the largest Bitcoin conference in Europe, and you should go too. Join us October 9th and 10th, and please support the show and get 10% off when you use my code Matrix. If you use the code and plan to attend, DM me for a meet and greet with yours truly. Seriously. If you use my code, DM me and we can meet up at the conference. The future of Bitcoin starts here. That's the tagline, guys. This is going to be so dope. This podcast is a passion project that needs your support to keep going. If you enjoy my content, please consider sponsoring or donating. And if your company is interested in sponsoring the Bitcoin Matrix podcast, please reach out to me directly at cedricjungelman@gmail.com or on Twitter at cedjungelman. I want to take a moment to express my heartfelt gratitude to all of you for tuning in, supporting the show, and contributing. Your support means the world to me, and I never could have imagined this level of engagement when I started this journey 4 years ago, and I would love to continue doing so because I feel this is important information to share with you and the world. And now, let's enter the Bitcoin Matrix after a short hiatus for this important and timely episode. For this incredible rip, we have a really special guest, recently retired after 24 years in the United States Border Patrol, J.J. Carroll, where we discuss his seminal book, Invaded, The Intentional Destruction of the American Immigration System.
What is real? How do you define real?
You can't jump into cash. Cash is trash. What do? You get out.
J.J. Carroll recently retired from the United States Border Patrol after a 24-year career as a deputy patrol agent in charge. Carroll brings a different view on immigration and on what is now transpiring in this forgotten and unknown place known as the border. Carroll supervised an all-terrain vehicle unit on the San Diego-Tijuana border between 2008 and 2009, the most violent time in recent Border Patrol history. In 2009, he also created the Coastal Border Enforcement Team, the most successful landside and maritime narcotic and human smuggling unit in the Border Patrol. In the 5 years, Carroll was the supervisor of CBET. They arrested and seized numerous Sinaloa cartel narcotic loads, and one of his agents testified against and helped secure a conviction against El Chapo. Carroll is proud of his career and the relationships that were forged with fellow agents during the dark and violent nights on the border and along the Pacific coast. J.J. Carroll recently wrote Invaded, The Intentional Destruction of the Immigration System. J.J., welcome to the Bitcoin Matrix podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me. I think this is the number one threat to our republic. So I appreciate the time that you're giving me to speak openly about this.
Sure, of course. So let's get into it. I'd love to hear about your background, what maybe a day in the life is, but maybe you could just tell me what your father used to do.
My father was a Secret Service agent. He's who I modeled my life after as a father more than anything, but as a career, my father was a Secret Service agent, started under LBJ right after Kennedy was assassinated, and worked all the way up to the second Bush. And the greatest accomplishment my father had is very successful in his career. His biggest achievement is when he ran the total protection for Pope John Paul II, which I'm Catholic and he's now a saint. When Pope John Paul came to New Orleans, first time the Pope into the United States in decades. And New Orleans had, at the time, less than 500,000 people. And then when Pope came, we had over 2 million people were inside New Orleans. So it was a huge deal. My father was somebody I looked up to. He would have never, on his worst day, allowed what happened to Donald Trump and set up the protection that way. My father was a detail where he would detail protection detail, and he was the advanced man. So he would set up all the perimeters, set up all the choke points, everything security-wise, my father would do. And I learned a lot from my dad of just being a father, being a stand-up guy, facing adversity, not bending a knee. And to his detriment and to my detriment in our career, that there were times where if I could have just shut my mouth and went along to get along in the face of adversity, maybe I moved up quicker, but I just couldn't do that. And in my career in the Border Patrol, I think that played a great deal in the men that I would have supervision over, that they wouldn't do things because I told them to do things. They did things because I had already done them. So I wasn't asking anybody to do anything that I hadn't already done before.
Sure, I could appreciate that. Maybe what was your dad like? What was his physical presence like? And maybe his emotional temperament? Maybe how would people characterize him? Was he sort of like a scary man and come into a room and everyone would take cover and hide? What was he like to grow up with?
Actually, it was. That's what my father looked like. My father was the stereotypical alpha male, okay? He was 6'4", 275 pounds. He was Native American. That's Native American and Hungarian. So he had jet black hair like Indians have, like jet black hair, dark, dark skin. And everyone thought that he was Italian. He looked like a mafia hitman straight out of a movie. And he was huge. His hands were gigantic. People were afraid of my father. And what was so ironic is my father was the most loving, caring, gentle man you would ever meet in your life. Now, he had the physical prowess to destroy anybody. And that's what made him great at his job. But he had a great temperament. He was always the same. He was even. And he was just the greatest father. But when he walked into a room, as I write about this in my book, there was no wondering who the alpha male was. But I watched my father as the alpha male never beat his chest, never push anyone around, never be arrogant, just was very kind and polite. And that's what I would like to think that I have done in my career. I'm not as big as him, but I'm fairly large, got big guy in terms of size. But outside of my job, and we talk about this a lot amongst law enforcement guys, outside of the work, we're very different than we are inside. And we're wearing the uniform and the badge and it's done. We have to do things and present a certain way than we are out. And my father taught me that.
Wow. I mean, those are great lessons to learn. How would you describe the mission of the Border Patrol?
Our mission is very simple, and yet it has been completely and utterly destroyed under this administration. And that mission is to secure the border, secure the homeland of the United States of America, and make sure America retains her sovereignty. Because without borders, without a sovereign nation, you're just a piece of land people walk through. And that is what has happened in the last 4 years.
How would you describe maybe over your 24-year career, like maybe the numbers coming over the border and maybe how they've progressed?
Okay. Let me make sure your audience understands that this is a uniparty issue. This is not a Democrats are bad and Republicans are good. No, they're both dastardly. And they have done this strategically, intentionally. I'm talking back to Ronald Reagan's time. Ronald Reagan he oversaw the last amnesty. He got hoodwinked. On his deathbed, he's talking about the worst thing he ever did was listen to the Democrats and Republicans and did an amnesty that was a boondoggle. So when you look at what's happened, in my last year in the Border Patrol, I was a deputy patrol agent in charge, top 25 agents out of 2,500 in San Diego sector. So I have a high level of what I'm talking about. In the United States Border Patrol, we just celebrated 100-year anniversary. For 96 and a half years, meaning every year the United States Border Patrol was in effect, outside of Joe Biden, we never, ever, ever did anything that he's doing now. Why? Because everything he's doing now is illegal. It's unconstitutional. Let me give you one example. In my career, directly and indirectly, I oversaw as a station task force officer and a frontline agent and seeing all the arrests around me, maybe 100,000 arrests. That's a big population to pull data from, 100,000. Do you know how many I have released from the border out of 100,000 in my 24-year career? Zero. That's not hyperbole. I'm not exaggerating. Zero. Why? Because under the Immigration Nationality Act called the INA, it is illegal to release illegal aliens. Now, fast forward to Joe Biden. At the end of his term, which is about 4 to 5 months away, he will have arrested over 12 million illegal aliens, and he has released them all. all of them. In the end of his term, in 4 years, he will have arrested and released 12 million. He will have flown into America, minimum that we know about, over 1 million to 2 million illegally. Literally went down to southern nations, put them on planes, and flew them into America in the dark of night and did not count them. And then at any time of the day, you and I are speaking right now, 80% of the southern border is unmanned. There's 2,000 miles of the southern border. So what I'm telling you right now, 1,600 miles of the border has not one Border Patrol agent. We've never done this before. Never. So you have 15 to 18 million people have crossed the border illegally and absconded on top of the 12 million that have been arrested. We have 30 million people have crossed America in 4 years and have are inside our walls. That's not just what I say. This is what they're saying in the Houses of Congress. They're not debating this in the media. It is accepted fact. 30 million people have come into America under this man's watch.
How would you describe maybe what a night was like, or just a day in the life of a Border Patrol agent, working the San Diego-Tijuana border, and maybe why there is a trench named after you?
Okay, so when people, you ever remember when Donald Trump came down the escalator and he ran for, and said, I'm running for president and I'm going to arrest all those murders and rapists coming from Mexico? And everybody lost their mind. And I remember sitting there going, why did everybody get upset? That's true. I go to work every day and all I catch are rapists and murders and drug dealers and pedophiles and MS-13. Were there maids and gardeners? Of course. But everywhere where I worked on Imperial Beach, you have to understand, back then, everyone that came out of federal and state and local jail, they had an immigration detainer attached to them if they were legal. They got put into buses or flown down to San Diego, and they dropped them off at the San Ysidro Port of Entry. All of those criminals, murders, rapists, pedophiles, et cetera, would get drunk, have sex down at TJ, and then they would come across the border and run into America. Who was on the other side? I was. Me and my guys. I ran an ATV unit, just for example. Ran an ATV unit, had 10 guys on my unit. We were high response. Wherever groups came across, we were able to physically move so fast on ATVs. It was the greatest job in the world. I actually showed up to work with a jumpsuit on, threw my vest on, my gun belt, and me and my guys would roll on ATVs for 10 straight hours, just tearing it up. But every single night, multiple times, we were in fights. We were having rocks thrown at us, bricks thrown at us, rebar thrown at us, fights in the middle of the night, bailing wire pulled across the both fences, hoping that we will drive over and decapitate ourselves. The lights on the border cast shadows on the roads. They put boulders on the road and then run people across and then make us come down there to respond and hit the boulders and go flying off our bikes. Every single night we were fighting, and that's what it was like. Imagine if you are an insurance salesman or a football coach or a teacher or whatever, and you got to go to work and you know every single moment that there's a great chance you're going to get in a macro fight, or you're going to wreck your ATV, or you're going to fall off a cliff, or you're going to get punched in the face and get knocked out, whatever. I have a ditch in the Border Patrol. Everything is landmarked, because we have ground sensors scattered all over the desert, all over the terrain where I used to work. It was very urban, but it could take 30 seconds to cross the border, or it could take 2 days to maneuver through the border. And there's sensors all over. And one of the great things is to have a landmark named after you. But there comes a major price to have a landmark named after you. Either you do something really stupid or you did something in the line of duty. And I was running my ATV. And back then they were doing a lot of earth moving in on the border, creating if you can believe this, I wrote in my book, a sewage treatment plant in America to treat Mexican sewage. And we paid for it, America. We have been gutless, horrific people led by horrific people for decades, just stealing from us and giving to foreign nations. Well, these people cut a trench. And in the middle of the day, I remember driving by it and going, look at that. It looks like it's an optical illusion, like it's flat, but it was ramped. And later in the night, a large group comes through, and I come turning around that corner on a dirt road going about 50 miles an hour on ATV. And I forgot that they built a trench because it's not supposed to be there. So I ran my ATV. My ATV hit the other side of the dirt wall, crushed it like an accordion, and I went flying about 50 feet and just ripped my shoulder to shreds. To this day, I can't sleep through a night because my shoulder hurt. I'm a side sleeper, so I have to – I gotta roll. I got hurt and broke my tailbone, crushed my head wide open. Not because I was accident prone, because I was working on a desolate, violent, disgusting, hopeless piece of land called a border. Whatever you may see on TV, I want you to accelerate that and spin it up about a million times. The border is a place that is hopeless, desolate, violent. Only the weak get devoured. The strong are just what's left. But you learn very quickly that the border is an actual living, breathing character, and you better respect her because she's going to devour you. And I learned that a very hard way, but I learned it. Look, I know this says a lot, a negative about me as well as very good about me. In this violent, desperate, hopeless world where just the strong survive, I thrived in it. I was built for it because I would not hesitate to do what I needed to do to effect an arrest. Just like me and my guys always talked about, America does not want to know what we have to do to keep the border safe. You don't want to know because you obviously you can't do it. You couldn't do and stomach the things that we had to see, witness, and partake in. But I'll never apologize for what I did and how I did it, because it's a place that is devoid, it's void of any niceties of life. And I'm talking about everyone in it. I'm talking about the pollos, they're called chickens. That's what the smugglers, the coyotes call the people they bring over, the pollos. They decimate them. They rape and pillage them on the south side. They come on the north side and they beat them. The smugglers are violent, disgusting human beings. And that's what we dealt with every day. I loved it. I loved it. I miss it. I will be honest with you. I don't miss dealing with them. I miss dealing and having my camaraderie of my brothers and sisters and being a team and doing something. But I could never. I witnessed my last year in the Border Patrol was Joe Biden's first year. I saw the treason. I saw the unconstitutional orders being handed down. There was no way in hell I was going to partake in that. I had enough time and I left. I retired because I knew that I would ultimately sabotage everything that he's doing and I would ultimately find myself in a very bad position.
Wow. I mean, kind of thinking about maybe some of the mixture of people coming through, maybe not. Well, if there's a family that presents themselves as a family, and, you know, they claim asylum. What is this process like right now? What happens to them after they claim asylum? And you were saying, like, you know, are they released? Where do they go? Who maybe makes up this family?
Yeah, that's a great question. Let's go back to the old days. Okay, the old days. 3.5 years ago. That's the old days now. 95-96% of everyone that crossed the border was Mexican. Then you had about 2-3% Hondurans, El Salvadorians, Guatemalans, and then you had about 1% we called exotics. They would just be random, like Romanians, Russians, some Haitians, whatever, right? That's been flipped. Under Joe Biden, 180 nations out of 195 nations on planet Earth are recorded in the Border Patrol arrest data, meaning the entire world is coming into America. Now, 70% of everyone that crosses the border are other than Mexicans. The Mexican nationals are the ones, they're the minority in the Border Patrol arrest. The 70% is everyone else in America. The old days, 3.5 years ago, you were arrested with your family and you were an illegal alien that had been deported. We deported your whole family. Your whole family went back to wherever they came from. Today, that same family, let's call it a Haitian family, of a mother, father, and a son and a daughter. They will cross the border. They will ask for asylum, and it's all fraudulent. fraudulent, all of it. They're economic migrants that does not fall under asylum program. The old days under the asylum rule, you had to present yourself to a port of entry or to an embassy. Now they just cross the border and they squat. Before, we would send them back and they had to wait in a third country and wait for their asylum process to go through. Now we allow that asylum family to come into America. We give them what's called parole. Parole is not what you and I think when we think of state and local people on parole, letting people out of jail. Immigration parole is a case-by-case basis. Do you know how many parole cases I did in my whole career? Zero. Zero. It's never done. Never. Well, Mayorkas, who's the secretary of DHS, bastardized it like he did everything else, and now use parole for millions of people. So that family comes in, and I give them a notice to appear. Okay, it's called an NTA. They have to present themselves to an ICE officer or a judge, immigration judge, in 6 months, 90 days, 6 months. Let's just say 6 months, okay? And they tell me where they want to go. They're going to Nashville. So they have to present themselves into Nashville. Now, if they don't present themselves, then they become illegal aliens. Now, do you know that in places like New York, California, et cetera, the court dates are into 2032? I didn't transpose that, 2032. So they're never going to see anybody to change their status. So this is how immoral our government is. That Haitian family is not given a work authorization document. They're given nothing. Nothing. And in 6 months, they will all be illegal aliens that cannot get social benefits. They can't get jobs. They can't do anything. We have created, just so everyone's very clear about how evil our government is, evil. And I have no love lost to these illegal aliens, but they have created a slave class of labor. And now it should start to make sense what they're doing. They're allowing them to vote and they're allowing them to work under the table for marginal wages. Now, that same family that came through, I'm going to turn them over to an NGO, Catholic Charities, Jewish, Lutheran Family Services, on and on. That family or that man and wife are going to get a brand new iPhone. Brand new, in the box with the cellophane wrapped around it. That's how new. And we're handing them out like candy. And then on top of that, I'm going to give them some money. $500, $2,000, $4,000, whatever. I'm going to turn over to NGOs. The NGOs are going to feed, clothe, and house them for over a year plus. They're going to give them free airline tickets wherever they want to go in the United States of America. They're going to land in there, and NGOs are going to pick them up and house them for free. Food, clothing, education, healthcare, housing, free, same-day laundry. Same-day, do you have same-day laundry? And then they're going to get stipends, cash stipends, every month. And they're going to suck every bit of our social welfare and social benefits. Let me give you an example. New York City in 2025 is budgeted to be over $5.5 billion in the red. 2023, the state of New York was over $12 billion in the red. Chicago has spent over $3.5 billion. And their most impoverished part of the city just be left alone with no money. At the end of Joe Biden's term, at the end of his term, this is his data, not mine, just his. And I don't trust anything they say. Joe Biden will have spent between $700 billion and $1.5 trillion on illegal aliens. And everyone in the know, we all know that they have eclipsed $1 trillion in 4 years. Do you understand what I just said? Does anybody have an idea what $1 trillion is? Of your money given to foreign invaders while we struggle at 20-25% inflation and rising. So when I tell you, and I say this openly without hesitation, sir, that the federal government is the enemy of the people, and I will lay it out for you. I don't believe when I used to make arrests, I need probable cause to make arrests outside the border. In order to have probable cause, you have to have evidence. I have probable cause and I have evidence to prove. And that's what I'm going to do with my documentaries. I have two documentaries coming out in the next 6 weeks, and they're going to prove exactly what I'm saying. You can't imagine the level of corruption, the level of treason that our government, both parties, Republicans and Democrats, have done to America.
So, you know, I think, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. What I think to kind of kick off with is interesting how you mentioned that they're creating a slave class and that it's for, you know, votes and sort of work for cheap labor. And you go over this in the book, how that kind of brings both parties on. So the Democrats maybe get the votes and the Republicans get the cheap labor for commerce and big capital or big tech, whatever you want to call it, centralized business. But it also fits with my theory that there's just corruption and grift all around. So, you know, one state sending them to the other state on they're both on different sides of the issue, but they're getting money for sending and the corruption and the grift and the hotels, the buses, the airlines, you know, and you kind of get into it there where there's a cost to the U.S. citizen here in terms of more expensive airline tickets, more expensive hotels. We'll get into some of the different costs there. But what would you say to, you know, a lot of people say, well, everyone in the world deserves the opportunities America can offer.
I say that you're mentally ill. I say that you're mentally ill. Do you know that we have a righteous, honest immigration system? They tell you it's broken. They lie. It's broken because they broke it. Do you know that we immigrate more people annually than the rest of the world combined? We legally immigrate 1.2 million people into America. I am for legal immigration because some of the greatest patriots we have are legal immigrants. Why? Because they've been on the other side of the world where it's oppression, tyranny. They come here for freedom and opportunity, and we give them. Now, if you and I or the government believe that we should have 10 million people a year come into America legally, then you go in front of the Congress, you pass a bill, you present a bill, and you pass it. And then if that's the number we're going to do, fine, it's 10 million. Then we do it. But you congressmen, AOC, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, on and on and on, you call us by our name. You call us racist, xenophobes, bigots. You call us all that. We're enforcing your laws, you jackasses. You're the ones who put these laws in place and put the limitations on how many people cost. You know that the American government, excuse me, the American public does not want any more legal immigration. They don't want any more illegal immigration. Every poll for the last 25 years that I've been monitoring in as this world has become part of my life, I followed it. Up to 80% of everyone in these polls wants legal and illegal immigration decreased. But why won't they do it? And here's a better question that I ask everyone. There's 4 billion people on planet Earth that are in poverty. 2 billion live in poverty that you can't fathom, and they all want to come to America. Let's say that you come to me and you say, JJ, I want to bring in 20 million people a year. Okay, I'll bring in 20 million people legally. Now you tell me, what are you going to do with the other 1.98 billion that are trying to come in? And then there's always silence. And then I say, well, you have to build a wall, right? And they go, yeah, yeah. And I go, okay, well, hold on. Before we go further, why don't you articulate to me why your wall is morally righteous to hold back 1.98 billion and I want to hold back 2 billion? And they just stare at me in stunned silence because the left and the rhinos never were always talking and arguing about their feelings. I don't care about their feelings. You either, here's the irony of all irony. Everyone that comes to America legally and illegally, they come here because they want opportunity and freedom. What is the foundation for opportunity and freedom? It's law and order. If you don't have law and order, you have chaos. If you have chaos, you have no opportunities or freedom because you're trying to survive. That's the irony of all, that we're allowing 30 million, try to wrap your brain what I'm saying. 30 million people in 4 years. Now try to wrap your brain around this, and this is not even disputed. They're openly agreeing to it, so I know the number's even higher, but let's just use their numbers. Congress is openly stating there's 45 million illegal aliens living inside the United States of America. I know the number to be closer to 50 million. Let's use their data. 45 million? And I can walk you through it if you want to take me 2 minutes to explain how that number is legitimate. And I'll take 30 seconds, if you will. 2019, MIT and Yale did a study, and they jammed all this demographic data into an algorithm. They ran the algorithm a million times. It came out with a high of 29 million illegals. They agreed to 22 was the average. everyone left and right agreed to him. I remember this. I call me a PhD of this stuff. I follow it constantly. 22 million, everyone agreed to it. I said, that's wrong number, but let's just go with it. 22 million in 2019. I just told you how I got to 30 million under Joe Biden. I also told you that everyone that is in the business agrees with it, and even the left agrees with it. There's your 50 plus million. CIS.org, Center for Immigration Studies, did a demographic white paper, if you will, 6 months ago, and found out through all their exhaustive data, 51.6 million people living in America are foreign nationals. Okay? There is no way that America survives this demographic shift. This is not about race and ethnicity. It has nothing to do with that. This is about replacing citizens with non-citizens. That's it. They're not going to rule men like me and you that know how to read and write in English, know what the Declaration of Independence says, understands what our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, understands everything. We understand it because we can read it. We're intelligent. The vast majority of all illegal aliens coming in America are illiterate in their own language. They can't read or write wherever they come from. How in God's name are they going to understand that we're a republic or what the Constitution says, and that they're 100% dependent on every bit of survival, clothes, housing, food, water, medicine, education for the kids, everything that you need to survive. So my question always is, for the crazy left and the rhinos that want power, and if you don't think we're living under a tyrannical government, you are either part of it or you are just incompetent. Who do they want to rule? Do they want to rule you, or do they want to rule the peasant? They want to rule the peasant. And I don't say peasant as some derogatory. I'm just saying it as it is. What is a peasant? I wrote about this in my Substack the other day. I said, I'm sure everyone's going to call me, oh, he's a bigot. Now, what is a peasant? The peasant, for a term, illiterate, uneducated, can't think past today because they have to live and find foliage, get food and water to live today. They have no critical thinking. They have no visionary. They have no ability to question because they're trying to survive. That's what a peasant is. I'm not a peasant. I'm an educated man that knows exactly what my rights are, by given by God and enumerated in the Constitution, that holds the federal government account. And I know what the state's rights are. But we have advocated all of it. And we have been replaced, or being replaced, by illegal aliens into America. You can't argue with me about it. If you do, I want to hear an argument. And this is how I have this discussion every time. Is I say, you don't like how I dress, you don't like that I cut my face, you don't like the way I sound, whatever. But you have to agree that the data is correct. You have to agree that my experience matters. You have to agree that everything that I'm saying is not hyperbole, drama, it's just black and white. So you agree with that, you hate me, then why don't you tell me what the hell's going on? And then we sit here in silence because no one has an answer to what the hell's going on. If you don't know what the hell's going on, maybe you should listen to the guy that's trying to tell you what the hell's going on. At the minimum, fact check me. See if I'm lying. See if I'm making it up. See if it, and if I do, call me on it. You're not going to see that. Just like in my book, I have it all citated out. Citations galore. You can't ignore what the people that run us tell us. Let me give you three quotes, almost verbatim. I want to fundamentally transform the United States of America, Barack Obama. We are going to have, quote, we are going to have unrelenting waves of immigration into America, changing the demographics of America, making the Anglo-Saxon a minority in his own country, and quote, that is a good thing. That's Joe Biden. And the last quote, we need to legalize all 11 million dreamers, or whoever, how many there are, because America can't survive without all of these people. That's Chuck Schumer. Those are the three leaders of the Democratic Party. Don't have to listen to them. At least watch what they do. Listen to their words, watch their actions, and you can't deny it, what's happening.
Well, it was also interesting in your book, you got into, or you name dropped a couple other names that were interesting. Ted Kennedy.
Yes.
The Lion of the Senate, and George Bush Jr. Maybe you could touch a little bit about how they sort of impacted this process, maybe around like creating a problem, solving a problem, and amnesty. But it was particularly interesting what Bush said around 9/11. I don't know if you want to share that, but it, yeah, I mean, maybe those two, and then we'll get into sort of how this is impacting, you know, communities.
No, I appreciate that. It's a good question. I rarely get asked it. Everyone acts as if, you know, when you get in, you're living in chaos and like inner city crime, black on black crime, black murder rates are skyrocketing, black unemployment, white, no one can get jobs. Everyone thinks that it used to be, this has always been. No, it's not. You didn't have fatherlessness epidemic in black community. You didn't. You didn't have failing schools. You had thriving schools. Same thing with illegal immigration. Everyone thinks that it's always been this way. In 1924, the United States government created the United States Border Patrol. And in that bill in 1924, the reason why they did it was because we had unrelenting waves, as Joe Biden says, of immigrants from Europe coming to America. Irish, Italians, Spaniards, Germans, Greeks, whatever. And they became balkanized because they weren't assimilating. And our government said, whoa, hold on a second. No, stop. So we almost had a net zero immigration policy to 1965. And what happened in 1965? 1965, an immigration bill was passed, and it was championed by none other than the Lion of the Senate, the man that left a woman die in a lake, and we talk about how great he is, and the family name is so great. Ted Kennedy, from 1965 to the day he died, was the sponsor or co-sponsor of every immigration bill passed. And you know what he said on the Senate floor? This is the greatest. I'm almost going to get a quote, but I don't have it quoted purposely yet. Once we let these people in, we're not going to cut off the flow of Europeans. We're going to keep our demographic balance, and there will not be riot in the street. Number one, he cut off the flow of European nationals from coming into America, which is our demographic base. I don't care if you like that or not. That's what America was built on. Then he opened up Latin America and Africa and let them flood in to America, upsetting our immigration, our demographic base. And guess what? They're rioting in our streets ad nauseum, waving all of their flags, except the U.S. flag. Now, if you can imagine going down to Mexico and waving the American flag and demanding you speak English and give me all the free stuff you can give me, yeah, good luck. Good luck. But that's what we've allowed because we are run by traitors, and the American man, specifically the American man, is fat, lazy, and impotent because we have been bred that way. We have been fed food that destroys us. We are 70% of the single adult military-age men in America. 70% low end can't join the military. Why? Because they're fat, obese, diabetic, have mental diseases, are on mental prescription drugs, or are addicts outright. 70%, some people say it's closer to 77%. Then you look at George Bush, because I want to make sure that this is uniparty. George Bush, 9/11. 9/11 happens. All the Border Patrol agents were chomping at the bit. We're like, okay, this is the time the page gets turned and we are going to enforce laws. Because in San Diego, the vast majority of those savages that flew the planes into the World Trade Centers, debatable, but they did, a lot of them were overstays, meaning they should have been deported. What if, I always think of this, what if I just would have been able to do my job and I came across one of them? Maybe one of them was the guy that was spurring all the courage of everyone else. And I said, where's your passport? Where's your visa? Oh, you're an overstay, a student visa overstay. You're arrested and deported. Maybe it never happens. That's legitimate. That's a legitimate ask. But no, we didn't do it. In fact, George Bush creates Homeland Security, a complete and utter boondoggle. He does not do any enforcement of illegal aliens. You would think if you had illegal aliens in your country, just blew up your World Trade Center, decimated your economy, threw us into a war that cost trillions of dollars for 20 plus years. You think the response would be everybody in my country illegally, get the hell out. No, the opposite. We did nothing. We, for your audience to understand, we didn't change anything that we did in immigration. Nothing. And that's not hyperbole. I'm telling you, we regressed as an agency. It was maddening. Guys in my position were just like, what in God's name is happening to our country? Who in the hell's leading us? We know who's leading us. George W. Bush. He can't put two sentences together without making five or six grammatical errors and looking like a complete doofus. That's who we voted in. We vote in Joe Biden, who has dementia. Everyone knows it. We vote in Barack Obama. We don't even know where's your birth certificate. What's your real name? I've gone by John James Carroll my whole life. I don't have another ID. I don't have other names, first and last names. I don't. Who the hell does? Honestly, who the hell does? People that are not from here, that change their names when they come from a nation that their names are unusual and they want to fit in. Barry Saltello, the Manchurian candidate. Look, I know what I sound like. I'm very aware of the words I choose and the way that I present it. I'm an intelligent man. I know words have incredible meaning and power. I don't say things willy-nilly. Conspiracy theories are just truth waiting to see the sunlight. That's it. Name me something that we think 5 years ago is off the wall conspiratorial. Now it's either been proven true or everyone's like, dear God, could this actually be true? Well, yeah. Yes, a lot of it could be true. I think America is in the throes of moral decay. It is in the throes of a demographic replacement. I think we are changing from a republic to a quasi-democracy / tyrannical government where the majority rules and dominates. It's undeniable. You have people from January 6th that weren't just walking around, are in jail. People that literally burnt down federal buildings in Portland and Kenosha and Philadelphia and DC. Nothing. They walk free, not even arrested. We live in a tyrannical government. You cannot see that? How can anyone not see what's happening in America? Even third world dictators, Putin, third world banana republics, Maduro, they laugh at us. They go, are you casting stones at us? Look at you, America. You have fair elections? What? And so your audience understands too, as these illegal aliens come through the border, guess who the NGOs, guess what they do? They register them all to vote. And then tens of thousands of illegals in hotels and shelters disappear. And what shows up at that address? Mail-in ballots. So now there are millions of loose mail-in ballots floating around the country. You don't think they're going to come into play in 2024? This is how big the octopus, if you will, of illegal immigration. It's a mutant octopus with 100 tentacles that reach out and touch America in every fabric and sense of America's life.
Yeah, to touch on that maybe. What do you think this influx of foreign nationals does to communities? Maybe someone's saying, like, I live in rural America. This is not going to affect me. My kids go to great schools or we live in a great community and we have great services and it's cohesive. Are they going to be left untouched? Is this not going to bother them?
If you think you're going to be untouched, you're a fool. I'm going to give you three examples, okay? Two that are in one person, okay? You have 50 million illegal aliens in your country. The cities, the major cities are saturated. Your blue mayors and governors of those states are shipping people out of their cities and states, just like DeSantis and Abbott did. I'm gonna give you two examples. Whitewater, Wisconsin, an hour and a half from Chicago. Biden administration put 1,200 to 1,500 nationals from Venezuela and Nicaragua in a town of 15,000, college town. I spoke directly to the chief of police, and he says, we are seeing crimes that we never saw before. Kidnappings, rapes, child rapes, spousal abuse, prostitution, drunk driving, drugs. Everything that you can imagine, we never saw. That's one. I'm a smart guy. I didn't know there was a city called Springfield, Ohio. Springfield, Ohio is a small town. I think it's southwest of Dayton, okay? About 38,000 people 4 years ago. Their population jumped in 4 years to 58,000 people. How did that happen? American women do not reproduce at the replacement level. So where did 20,000 people? Did Amazon show up in Springfield, Ohio, and everyone followed for jobs and had just a booming economy? No. Over 20,000 illegal Haitians showed up in Springfield, Ohio. And their city manager, their mayor, and their chief of police said their city is over with. Crime, social decay has rotted through that city. That city will die a very fast death. Let me tell you another one, Cincinnati, Ohio. There's a country in Africa called Mauritania. It's the size of Texas. It is also one of the most poorest nations on planet Earth. The real name of Mauritania, the official title, is the Islamic Republic of Mauritania. And in Mauritania, they just started to allow schoolgirls, little young girls, to go to school. Mauritanians have found a direct pipeline into Cincinnati, Ohio. Now there's thousands of Mauritanians in Cincinnati, Ohio. How well do you think that's going to work out? It's not. And I'll give you a personal one. I went to get my hair cut last week. School, everyone's going back to school. The lady that cuts my hair, very smart, hardworking woman, she's visibly upset. I live in Kansas now, okay? In a very nice part of Kansas. She's upset, like visibly upset. And I'm like, is everything okay? She says, everything that you've been telling me, JJ, I'm living now. I said, okay, well, tell me what's going on. She said, I dropped my little girl, my world. I dropped my world off at school. I said, okay. First day of school, first grade. She's the only white girl in the whole school. She's the only child that speaks English. She is going to a school that has, they're trying to take donations for a new carpet, a rug, because it's so dirty in there. All of the children are bringing their book bags or their books in garbage bags. They have no pencils. No one speaks English. My daughter just sat there in silence. She says, how did this happen? I said, well, it's happened because you have a community now that has found a nice place that's going to get all free stuff, and all of their kids are going to go to school. And she says, their parents are dropping them off. They're high or drunk. All of them. I said, well, yes, that's the culture. What are you talking about, that's the culture? The idea, and I told her, I said, the idea that we have been indoctrinated, that all of the cultures in the world are all the same, that America, for whatever reason, while everyone else doesn't have running water, electricity, or schools, but America in 200-something years is this gigantic superpower because we're all the same. No, we're not all the same. That's not a racist statement. That's not anything statement. That's a factual statement. The United States of America, that are made up of whites, blacks, Hispanics, Asians, whatever, we're Americans, and we're a great country. Why? Because we are hardworking, industrious people that have property rights. The other people in the world have no property rights. They work to give to the tyrant, and they have no education, no health care, nothing. But when you bring in third world people to your country, you are going to begin to have third world problems. And that's what's happening in America. To believe that you're not going to be touched, you're a fool. Look, you and I have been talking for 48 minutes. This is a great interview. I love the questions you're asking. In fact, I don't get asked quite a few of these. And I've always wondered, left and said, why are they not asking me? A lot of these questions are, they're like happening. Why? So I want to applaud you for asking me very pointed questions that I haven't been asked in a while. But the problem is so big that you and I have been talking 49 minutes. We haven't even discussed narcotics, true demographics, child sex trafficking, human trafficking. We need another 5 days to discuss this. We're talking the tip of the iceberg here. We're talking high school, we're not PhD level. That takes days to get in to understand that our federal government are run by traitors. And you cannot, if you give me just one minute to explain, that's a bold allegation, I understand. Let me explain how I come to that. I come to that because the day that Joe Biden came into office, that day, I was at work and I watched my emails just pile up as a senior leader in a station. Why? Because I watched executive orders come raining down, 94 of them to be exact, all on immigration, all obliterating everything that we were doing the day before to secure the border. So they had to have meetings at the highest level of government weeks, months before he took office. And they all made the decision that they were going to fundamentally transform the United States of America by using the weapon of illegal immigration to drive the vehicle of change in America. There's no disputing that. In the next year, the first year in office, he will sign 296 executive orders all on immigration. Let's step back and let's try to put this into some kind of context. I am the CEO of Google. I drove Google stock up to $500 a share and I punch out. I take my $1 billion payout and I'm out. Everyone loves me. People are making money. It's raining money. And then you hire some jackass that has dementia and he hires a bunch of people around him that hate Google and they do everything they possibly can to submarine every policy that drove the stock to $500 a share and they drive it down to 50 cents a share. Would you call that man a traitor to that company and he did it deliberately? Or do you give him a pass and say, oh, it's okay, he just had some bad luck? No, you would run him out of town, you would find out that he did this on purpose and you would put him in jail. That's what I'm calling for. I know when I say someone is a traitor, I understand what treason is and I understand what the penalty is. When somebody gets allegated of treason and is a traitor, they get put in jail, they get a trial, and if they're found guilty, they're put to death. That's what I want. Because what I have is evidence, and I want that evidence and I want arrest. I want justice. I'm never going to get justice. I know that in the real world. But this is what we're looking at in America. This is real-time destruction of the United States of America, and I refuse to stand here and be silent.
Well, I appreciate you speaking up. I only have a couple of questions. I know we're pressed for time here. We didn't get to cover, and you kind of alluded to a bunch there, like around fentanyl, organ harvesting, rape trees. But maybe one more story here before we roll out, and maybe another question after that, we have time. But what is the Darien Gap, and what's been happening there?
That's a great call. Darien Gap is the southernmost point of Panama. It's a think of a bottleneck, right? All the traffic goes into this one stoplight and you're like, God dang, man, this is what's happening. Darien Gap is where all the illegal aliens are coming through and they're going up through Central America into America, into Mexico and America. Do you know that Alejandro Mayorkas has actually said this out loud and wants to be applauded for it and it's treason? He's gone down to Colombia, Costa Rica, Guatemala, maybe another one or two, and has built regional processing centers called safe mobility offices, brick and mortar buildings in foreign countries to facilitate a more effective transfer of illegal aliens into America. That's what's happening in the Darien Gap. It is absolutely insane what is happening in America and is treason. And let me just make sure your audience is very aware of this too. There are millions of women and children crossing the Darien Gap. Do you know that this is not disputed? 60 to 80% of every woman and child making that journey is raped or sexually assaulted. Raped or sexually assaulted. And no one does anything about it. And those people that are raped and sexually assaulted, we allow into America. Those are called ticking time bombs. Child sex trafficking. 500,000 unaccompanied alien children from the ages of infants to 17 years old have crossed into America and have been lost. HHS Javier Becerra has said openly, we've lost 85,000 in 2023. Inspector General of DHS came out last week and said, no, that's not true. They have lost 325,000. Everyone that I know says, no, it's all of them. The federal government is normalizing you to the fact that they lost 85,000 children, and now it's normal to say they lost 325,000. Try to understand what I am saying. 325,000 to almost a half a million children have been lost in America. Meaning, and I want to tell you, there are three legs to the stool of child trafficking. Here we go. Child sex trafficking and labor trafficking. That's happening in America. Right now, as you and I are talking, at least tens of thousands of children are being raped in America. Two, organ harvesting. You don't want to believe it? It's true. Third, it's even worse, child sacrifice. Listen to what Donald Trump said in at several interviews, and then last weekend at a huge rally, had about 20,000 people. He said 325,000 children have gone lost and missing. A lot of them are already dead. And I'll follow. I know we're closing on time. I just want the audience to understand this. This is the biggest story not told. I'm going to tell it on September 13th when my documentary gets released called This Is Treason. I want your audience to understand the number of lost children in America annually ranges anywhere. It's a wide range to who you talk to. 400 plus thousand to 800. Let's say there's half a million. Let's just play the middle game. In 4 years, Joe Biden has lost 2 million U.S. citizen children, 500,000 UACs. That's 2.5 million. The question I have for your audience is, have you seen in your big cities or small towns roaming groups of children without parents that are dirty, hungry, living in shanties? Do you see that? The answer is no. So my ultimate question is, where the hell are all these children? That's a righteous question to ask. Where the hell? And I'm going to tell you, they're in basements being raped, brutally raped, 5, 10, 15, and 20 times a day. Babies, toddlers, young girls, young boys, and many of them are already dead. Many of them have been stripped of their organs. Wake up, America. This is your America. And why did we get here? I'll finish with this, sir. The reason why we are here is because the American man remained silent, impotent, and quiet, and cowards. We sat down and we bent a knee to mental patients telling us that, no, open borders is great. Don't worry about that. We listened to traders tell us, no, don't worry. We spent $4 trillion in the Middle East. Don't worry that your airports are falling down and your roads and schools and hospitals suck. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. And yet here we are, because we remain silent the whole time. America has to wake up. Sir, I appreciate the time that you've given me. I would love to come back if you have me.
I will definitely have you back. I'd love to. We'll dive deeper. I'll roll out with this. So quick anecdote. I haven't talked about this much personally or publicly, but I lost a really good best friend to a car accident. It was an illegal alien who crossed double lines on not a well-planned road. I'll give California that. But he was high and drunk. Yep. And I read the court documents and got flown home for a burial. And it was a really hard thing to touch or discuss because of the political nature of that. And, thinking about the border and things like that. I think October 7th must weigh in on this conversation at some point. Yep. It's interesting that you note that these, immigrants coming here is not necessarily good for their home countries. It's a brain drain on their home countries. Their best and brightest, if their best and brightest are leaving, are not staying home to solve those problems. Aurora, Colorado is in the news lately, but I'll touch on this one thing before we roll out. We didn't get into your maritime work. One of the anecdotes I really touched my heart and just spoke to how patriotic and mission driven you guys are protecting the border is that you took your dad out on a ride along And you guys got to a dark tunnel that you had to traverse, and who knew what was in the tunnel, and your dad was like, fuck it. No, fuck it. I want to go back to the car. Take me back to the car. I don't want to do this.
I would love to talk that story next time, because that was a very powerful story for me as a son of a father that you look up to and love and respect. So I would love to come back and talk about that.
Yeah.
I would
love it. Please let the audience know where they can find you and your work, and I'll definitely be in touch. I want to be respectful of your time.
Yeah, please. You can find me on X at jgcarroll14 or jgcarroll.com. And then please go to This Is Treason, thisistreason.com, and purchase our documentary. It comes out September 13th. You can pre-order, and it's two documentaries. And I would love to have a moment to talk about that next time, about how we got to two documentaries. I'm only supposed to be creating one, and it ends up two. So, sir, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate
Thank you. Really appreciate
have
it.
Have a great
thank
day.
So much.
You thank too. You. You're bye-bye.
Hey. Thank you for tuning into this important episode with Border Patrol Agent J.J. Carroll. If you'd like to continue supporting the Bitcoin Matrix or are considering contributing for the first time, there are a few ways to do so. You can boost the show on the Found app, send tips via Cash App at $DeLaSaid, or tip me Bitcoin on X at SaidYungelman. I'm going to Amsterdam next week for the largest Bitcoin conference in Europe, and you should go too. Join us October 9th and 10th, and please support the show and get 10% off when you use my code MATRIX. If you use the code and plan to attend, DM me for a meet and greet with yours truly. Seriously, if you use my code, DM me and we can meet up at the conference. The future of Bitcoin starts here. That's the tagline, guys. This is going to be so dope. See you there, and let's grab an ice cold beer. Keep building, keep stacking, and always stay laser focused out there. This is Cedric. Peace.